Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Good morning. This morning, I'd like to kind of share a story, something that happened in 2014. On the Discovery Channel, they were preparing to air a show. It was recorded by conservationist named Paul Rosalie. And he billed the show that he was going to be, get this, eaten alive and regurgitated by a 20-foot anaconda. Now, he had created a protective carbon suit, but once the snake actually engaged him, which was an hour and 44 minutes into the two-hour show, and began to constrict on his arm, he called his rescue team in to rescue him. After that, social media exploded with frustration at what they felt, get this, was false advertising. And I want you to think about this. How desperate are we for fame that you would agree, armor or not, to get eaten by a 20-foot-long anaconda? Well, another story comes to us from a Russian Instagram model who I can't even pronounce her name, but she risked her life. She went to Dubai and stepped out of the Kayan Tower. That's a 1,004-foot-tall tower in Dubai, and she wanted to get the what she described as the perfect Instagram shot. So she had her assistant have her lean out of off the ledge of the building, and then she actually dangled all the way out of this building. How crazy is that? Well, she got a lot of likes and a lot of followers, and it went viral. And one of the people who saw this post happened to be the Dubai Police Department, who then immediately went and arrested her. How stupid. Seriously, how stupid is this? And how desperate has our society become that the things that people do? We have individuals who actually die trying to record themselves jumping on tall buildings. We have individuals who try to jump cars, and they lose their life. They get maimed. They get put in jail, all to seek fame, that elusive thing. Now, in our kingdom, we see things like this all the time, these crazy expectations of what fame will actually do for you. I don't think that Instagram model really thought that she was expecting to be arrested. And I sure don't think that Mr. Rosalie expected this anaconda to have the tight grip that it actually did. And that these individuals were willing to risk these things to get fame and perhaps fortune. Well, today, I want to talk about some of our expectations and motivations as we journey in God's kingdom and our walk with Jesus Christ. And perhaps challenge us to see if we fall prey to bringing some of those same worldly expectations into our pursuit of Christ. We're going to continue in our journey through the fast-paced, action-packed Gospel of Mark, the earliest of the four Gospels. Now, there is a theme throughout the entire Gospel of how God's kingdom is radically different than the kingdom of the world. And yet, we often struggle to recognize and to grasp this. So we're going to take a few stops in chapter 3 and in chapter 4 this morning. Starting with chapter 3, Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 15, we read, "Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed him from Galilee and Judea, in Jerusalem and Idumea, and from beyond the Jordan, and from around Tyre and Sidon. And when the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him. He told the disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, 'You are the Son of God.' And he strictly ordered them not to make him known." Boy, isn't that a cultural departure from what we have now. Jesus told them not to make him known. Jesus wasn't concerned with fame. He wasn't concerned with the things that we seem to prioritize now in our society today. In verse 13, it says, in fact, that he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, that he might send them with him, that to send them out to preach and to have authority and to cast out demons. You see, Christ doesn't worry about the things that we worry about. He doesn't worry about how many followers that he has. We never see Christ fretting about other or worrying about others' opinion. Sometimes he asks occasionally, but in his asking of people's opinions, it's not so that he can find out, so that he can reveal it to them. In fact, in John chapter 6, Jesus has fed at least 5,000, probably closer to 15,000, because it says 5,000 men, with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And the crowd is pressing into him, and they are following into me, poses this question, are you following me just because you ate and had your fill? The crowd is so inspired that they were going to make him king by force. Jesus sent his disciples across the sea, and he walks on water, does another miracle. The crowd catches up to him, and he preaches a message that he is, in fact, the bread of life that has come down from heaven, and that the people need to eat this bread of life so that they can live eternally. This challenges them to see with spiritual eyes, not natural ones. It challenges their expectations to the point where when he says, hey, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no part in me. In John 6:66, it says that many would not follow him anymore. You see, oftentimes people believe their own lies. They spend so much time on their facade, and especially now with social media. They spend so much time developing this fake facade, this virtual thing. It's a real problem when people spend more time on virtual relationships than on face-to-face relationships. In fact, in 2017, Thinkith Labs in India did a large study of the effects of social media on children and on teenagers. And they said that now we see things we never had to deal with before, such as cyberbullying, such as the loss of people being able to have conflict resolution skills. No, nowadays, if someone has a problem with someone, instead of being able to walk up and talk to them face-to-face and work out their differences respectfully, you know, sharing their needs and sharing their thoughts, it's so much easier nowadays to just go online and make a post and then let the feeding frenzy begin. You see, the same way the people back then, they wanted Jesus to use his miraculous power to bring a military victory and to overthrow the Roman rule, to free them. But they could not see that Jesus came on behalf of God's kingdom, not the kingdom of the world. He was actually there to rescue their souls, not just their earthly bodies. Jesus wasn't worried about the number of his followers. No, he was more concerned in imparting new life to those who responded to his calling. And my brothers and sisters, I think that we maybe should focus on that as well. And so my first point for us today is this. In God's kingdom, substance is greater than fame. In God's kingdom, substance is greater than fame. And so that's why we see Jesus focused on imparting life and purposes and instruction to his disciples. There was a recent Oxford study that showed that the average, again, just the average person who's on Facebook has 155 friends. Now, I know people who have, you know, in the thousands of friends, and I know people who have just a few friends on Facebook and social media platforms. But the interesting thing of these studies is that the average person has 155 friends. The number of those whom they would really trust with an intimate detail in their life is actually 4. What are we doing? Perhaps we should spend more time, again, developing face-to-face actual relationships than virtual ones, because virtual relationships should not replace real ones. And guys, we need to wake up that is happening. It's happening with our youth. It's happening with the entire generation that has grown up using social media and replaced face-to-face interactions. Now, to this thing, I also want to say this here at our church. You know, we certainly struggle. We want to present as many tools as possible. And so we offer, you know, a stream for our church services. But the stream is a tool, not a substitute for face-to-face interactions. If we forsake the gathering of the assembly of the believers, we are missing out on something. Each Sunday morning, God has some things for us as we come together, as we join together as a church family. And so, yeah, I get it. Sometimes we're traveling. Sometimes we're sick. Sometimes we have people homebound. They're not able to get to church. And by all means, please use it. But don't allow this tool to replace those face-to-face interactions. We need to connect with people in God's kingdom. Moving on to chapter 4. Jesus says, and when he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, and then he's a very, very familiar parable here. He says, listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Another seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun arose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, I like this, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parable. So you see the value of intimate relationship with God? You know, he shares this parable, but then it's in the face-to-face time that he reveals the deep meaning. I tell you what, there are times that I read scripture and I struggle with it. There are some times that I'm thinking, what in the world does this mean? You know, what does this do? And I know it's easy. We've made it so easy nowadays where people can pick up a concordance or they can go online and they can search out a scripture and they can try to find what other people say about the scripture. Or they can listen or call their pastor or talk to a mentor or a Bible study leader, you know, an elder in the church or a leader, a Sunday school teacher. But really, whatever happened to talking to the author himself? I found some of the greatest things. In fact, even this week, some things were opened up to me in Scripture that didn't come through reading other people's words or thoughts on a Scripture, that came from just asking the author himself. And brothers and sisters, we have that right. We can talk to God, and God wants to talk to you. He loves you, and he wants to have relationship with you. And so those times in life when we don't understand what's going around, talk to the author. He goes on in this parable and explaining it. And he said to them in verse 13, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Then he breaks it down. The sower sows the word. There we have it. The seed is the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear it, listen to this, gang, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And these are the ones who sow on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves. Interesting wording there. But endure for a while, then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Verse 18, and others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who are sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Gang, Satan doesn't want us to hear the word. And so I have to understand, you have some expectations here. My second point for us today is this. Expectations can hinder our acceptance of God's word. Okay, they really could. I know so many people whom I talk to, and I ask them, you know, about God and begin a conversation about their thoughts about God. And they say, look, why would I ever want to worship a God who allows bad things to happen? There are individuals who've had real tragedy in their life. They've lost loved ones. They've gotten a bad medical diagnosis. They've gotten, maybe something's happened with their children, which is, who could think anything worse than that? Real, real tragedies. And if our expectation, we have to ask, if this hinders our walk with God, what was our original expectation that we placed on God? You know, gang, I gotta tell you, this is a fallen world that we live in. We live in a fallen world, and Christ is coming to redeem us, not just for this world. Christ is coming to redeem us for eternity. The kingdom of God that will come, that has arrived with Jesus Christ, but will endure forever. You see, when the word comes to us, Satan does not want you to hear the word. He immediately attacks. And so in this word, the parable that Jesus is explaining to them, he lets them know that the birds are Satan's attack of our receiving the word. If you recall, in the book of Daniel, was seeking God. In fact, he was fasting for 21 days. And he's waiting to hear. Nothing came. For 21 days, he was discouraged. And all of a sudden, we have this understanding that the angel of the Lord and Gabriel shows up and he tells him, from the first moment that you prayed, an answer came. But he says something interesting. He said that he was resisted by the prince of Persia, this demonic stronghold, this principality. I want you to know that God knows what's going on in your life. And that when we call out to him and God's word comes to us, Satan tries to take it. And if we have an unrealistic expectation that this is not going to happen, we can fall for the lie. We can believe the fallacy that God doesn't talk to us, that God doesn't care about us, that God doesn't have a purpose for our life, that God doesn't have a plan for our lives. Brothers and sisters, understand that all of us have expectations. And again, if we don't have realistic expectations, I'm not at all trying to challenge our thoughts and our perceptions. I'm trying to challenge our reality. Listen to that again. I get it that sometimes we think that God doesn't care about us, and I know that that might be your perception. What I'm challenging is if that perception is in fact reality, because we all know that there are some things that look one way that actually are quite different. When we don't realize this, we don't know how to react. We say, look, this can't be right. I've spoken with people last week who are ready to quit, who are ready literally to end their lives. They were saying things like, I must be doing something wrong. It shouldn't be this hard to hear God. Well, that's because the birds, Satan is coming to steal the word. Rocky ground. The next part, those who receive it with joy. But it says there that they have no root in themselves, but they endure for a while. And then, listen to what Jesus says, because I've never looked at this before. And John Mark pulls this out well. He says, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Now, it's one thing for persecution to come upon us, just random things to happen, just rough things in our life to happen, just the randomness of life. But this is because of the word. I want you to know that when you try to take a step towards God, the enemy gets busy. And sometimes you need to be reminded that when you're no threat to Satan, I don't know that he necessarily wastes a whole lot of time with you. But when you really begin to strive and to draw close to God, boy, Satan gets busy and he wants to discourage you and he wants to distract you and he wants to do everything he can to pull you away. May I remind you that in Jesus' inaugural address in Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, he wraps up those Beatitudes with this: blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Gang, tribulation is going to happen. Persecution is going to happen on account of the word. I remember early in my Christian walk, I'd get very discouraged when I'd try to share the gospel with somebody and they'd make fun of me. And sometimes they would even be polite, and then I'd find out later that they were, you know, things and comments that they'd made other places. And I began to think, well, this can't be right. Well, God, somehow God let them down. And it really struck a nerve inside of me because I had a wrong expectation. I expected that everything that I thought the world should act should line up with my interpretation of God's plans. And the truth is, persecution comes on account of the word. The word will cost us. We will be persecuted because of our stance in Jesus Christ. And perhaps it's good to maybe encourage all of us on some of the crazy decisions that have recently been made in our world. Because it's no longer, ironically, in a striving for our culture to want to embrace tolerance, the one thing is that is not tolerated anymore is a stance for Christ. And we look at this in morality. We look at this in terms of things that Scripture teaches. Even if we try not to be negative, even if we try to be loving with individuals with whom we disagree, our culture is now pushing a very, very, very dangerous thought that to simply disagree with the current popular culture means that you somehow are guilty of hate and intolerance. Seems to me that the ones who are not being tolerated much in our society anymore are, in fact, the Judeo-Christian principles that, in fact, made our country great. Gang, the world is going to cost us. Jesus then turns his attention on the thorns. And to here he says, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the world. He uses roses, or he uses these thorns. And in my house, I know we have these thorns. My wife loves these little, I think they're barberry plants. She loves them. I can't stand them because every time I go near them, these little bitty thorns, they just stick you. And whenever our trees shed their leaves, they always go right underneath. And so I have a hard time even cleaning them out because it just shreds me up. We always have this big conversation back and forth. And my wife likes thorns, like roses. She likes roses. And sometimes I laugh that, you know, why do we love things that are so beautiful, and yet they have these horrible, horrible thorns? And for some of us, we like some things that feel beautiful and they feel good and they seem good. But in actuality, they're thorns. What does Jesus call these thorns? The cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things that choke the word. Gang, following Jesus Christ will change our priorities. When we try to follow Christ without our priorities changing, it's just a lesson in futility. It is futile to try to do that. And that's a dangerous thing as we present the gospel. We shouldn't present a gospel that simply just tries to add religion to someone's life. No, no, no. Jesus came to allow us to understand that he gives us totally new priorities. If we try that, if we don't understand that our priorities will drastically change and realize that Christ didn't come so that we could have the life we have, he came that we can be born again. It will frustrate you and it'll frustrate those around you to try to straddle the line and keep those old priorities as we try to serve and seek Christ. God's kingdom has different priorities. And the priorities that this world has, riches and fame, those are deceitful. I want you to know money does not offer eternal security. And finally, in conclusion, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, Jesus wraps up this section with this parable. He says, what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out its branches so the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. My final thought for us today is that we shouldn't use worldly measures for God's kingdom. Things that look insignificant literally can be mighty in God's hand. The cross looks like defeat. There's no way around it. Our king was crucified, but through this act of obedience came the greatest victory that was ever won for all eternity. Things that look insignificant can be mighty because God turns defeat into victory. That's why Paul writes in Romans 8:28 that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Well, God's kingdom is different than ours. This is what Mark is conveying through the entire gospel. And we must be careful about to be about spiritual substance rather than earthly substance or fame. It is fool's gold. We should take great care to check if we have earthly expectations or if we have earthly measurements that we're using in our pursuit of Christ. Because we are part of God's kingdom. Gang, we have different priorities. So the call for us is to literally walk by faith, not by sight. Gang, we have a serious, serious challenge that lies ahead of us. And that challenge is to recognize how different God's kingdom is. We shouldn't try to fit in. I mean, it's hard, and I know that there's a balance, and people say, oh, well, what about Paul saying he became all things to all people to win some for Christ? What Paul didn't do is compromise his integrity or compromise his morality. Those things were laid deep inside the bedrock of his soul because of his relationship in Jesus Christ. What Paul meant is that he literally could put on some empathy with other individuals. He could try to understand and he could relate to them. It didn't mean that he compromised some of his what Scripture teaches for us. And so I know that we live in a world that is full of compromise. I know that we live in a world that's full of different values. And my prayer is for us parents, that we raise our children in such a way that they understand the difference in the value of following Christ. My prayer is for our children, is that children, that they can be bold, that they can stand in the midst of a world, in the midst of a culture that may in fact mock them, that may in fact make fun of them for the decisions and the stances they've taken for Christ. My prayer is for the pastors in our world, that they would preach the word, that they would not compromise the word of God to win popularity. My prayers is for the older generation that have gone before, that can breathe encouragement and edification and help and walk alongside of all of us and let us know that they've seen things that we need to understand. We as a church family are trying to have multiple generations worship and encourage one another. And I think that's the church being the church. So as we go forward in this time, let's remember to reflect God's kingdom and God's principles and to check if we have those worldly expectations. And if we do, let's replace them with the correct ones. But God bless us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us. And as we journey on, as we walk with you, I pray, God, that you would bring encouragement and strength. Lord, help us in this day and age to reflect your values and your love to those who need to hear the gospel. And Father, help us not be those who, when persecution comes, that we bend our knee. Lord, let us stand in these days, and having done all else, to hold on to the truth that you have placed deep within our hearts. I pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, my church family and community. We pray that you will have a wonderful week in Jesus, and we will see you next week.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.